You can open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17, and again, I'm going to be reading from the ESV. For the love of God, the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen. Well, let's walk through this, starting in verse 14. I hope this is encouraging you today. I hope it draws out some confession and conviction amongst us, particularly in our relationships. That's what this is about. So Christ's love compels us. It actually controls us. The fact that he died so that we could live, it should control our every action and every word, shouldn't it? And for us to live, we had to die. It's an interesting concept, but we were living, not really at all. We were dead in our sins. We were dead in our trespasses, spiritually dead. And Christ's death was the means by which we would have life. And so we no longer live for ourselves, but for Christ. Our old nature, our old man is dead and gone. And remember, as the scriptures just repeatedly, you know, when the scripture says something over and over and over and over, over again, God's trying to tell you something. Romans 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Timothy 2, it's a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we will also live with him. So if we died to our old selves, we now live not for ourselves, but for Christ. It's pretty simple, but we all struggle with it, don't we? Christ, it's by him by who we are alive today. And so it's by him that we can live today. For the one that rose again. In fact, it's because of his resurrection that we should not live for ourselves, but for Christ. So we make our life and all of our actions all about Christ, not ourselves. And one old pastor said this well. He said, one reason for Christ's death was to cure us of our self-love and to excite us to always act under the commanding influence of his love. A Christian's life should be consecrated to Christ, and then we will live as we ought to live to Christ who died for us. So for us today, may we confess our selfishness, our wandering always back to what we want. We're always tempted to do what's best for us. But that's our old nature. That's our old self. That's our flesh. That's what we are called to mortify our flesh and to be sanctified and walk in the Spirit and be alive to Christ. I want us to think about this today, particularly in regard to our relationships, in our marriages, in our sibling relationships, in our parent-child relationships, in your friends here in the body, maybe, body of Christ. We no longer live for ourselves but for Christ. So glorify Christ in your marriage. Glorify Christ with your friends and your relationships. Take the words of Romans 12. They're very challenging. We're to prefer one another and outdo one another in honoring one another. When's the last time you did that? See, this is the beauty of being redeemed, though. We are redeemed people. We're being born again. Here's the beauty. We don't have to live for ourselves anymore. Christ hung that on the cross. We don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. In fact, we're not. We're slaves to righteousness. And this is the call that Christ has for us, to live for him and not for others. And some of you may have heard of the little acronym J-O-Y, joy, as kind of a priority of who to serve first and in what order. So J is for Jesus. We serve Jesus, right? Just as we read in our verse here. And then next is O, others. And we serve others next. And then lastly is you. You serve yourself last. J-O-Y. So may that be encouraging. Let's keep going and look at verses 16 and 17, which says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. See, we used to see with eyes of flesh. We used to see everything as the world sees everything. But we don't have sight with those eyes anymore. That's gone. We don't look at things in the way of the world. We live above that old way of thinking. The love of Christ is in our hearts, and the world is under our feet. That's how we have to walk as Christians. See, as Christians, we enjoy the comforts of this life. We enjoy some of our relational things of the world, but we kind of hold them with an indifference of sorts, right? We hold the things of this world loosely, even as we look out on things. But we hold those things that are lasting and that are real or that are eternal. We hold those tightly, and we're able to do that in faith and by faith. So just as we thought we knew maybe once Christ of Christ in the flesh, we don't regard Christ as just a man in the flesh anymore, do we? He's not just a man in the flesh. We live on him spiritually. And so that's how we need to see everything. That's the crux of this text. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. It's not just a new name. It's not you can say, I'm a Christian now. No, everything's new. New habits. It's not just new habits. It's not just new friends. It's a new heart and a new nature. Everything changes. All things become new. Therefore, may we not look and regard one another like we used to, maybe in the flesh, or like the world regards one another. We have to regard one another and evaluate even one another and interact with one another with eyes of the Spirit, with eyes of Christ. So let's apply this, like I said, to all spheres of our lives, our marriages, siblings, relationships. Let's continue to apply that. And as an example, today is Mother's Day, right? So let's take the opportunity. May we regard our mothers not according to the flesh, but with eyes of grace, with eyes of mercy, with eyes of love, with eyes of humility. That's how Christ regards us. Can we regard one another that way? Do you regard your mother with this perspective? Maybe your mom's in this room. Maybe your mom's somewhere else unsaved. But regard her with the eyes of Christ. Husbands and wives, my encouragement is to walk in your marriage and live with hope in Christ that you are alive. And view your marriage with redeemed eyes. Let it affect your words, your patience, your thoughtfulness. Let oneness flourish in the hope of Christ. With church relationships, maybe you have some friends here. Look upon one another with the eyes of Christ. As we said, outdo one another in serving one another. Rest in Christ. May we not try to figure it all out and fix it all, but may we be more of prayer and word and the Spirit instead of running to worldly solutions, which we're all tempted to do. So for us today, may we not regard one another according to the flesh with those old eyes, with that old worldly nature. No, we're of Christ. We're new creatures. We're loving. We're kind. We're compassionate. We're confident and bold in Christ. We're truthful. We're selfless. We're gentle. We're patient. We're faithful, and we're joyful. And all these things come by walking in the Spirit. These are the fruits that Christ brings by not regarding one another in the flesh. And if we're not that way, may the Spirit of God convict us and cut us to the heart and humble us with a broken and contrite spirit. And may he remind us of who we are, our identity in Christ, children of the living God, and that may we walk in his love. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, Lord, we confess to you that we sometimes still see things with these eyes of flesh and even want to jump back to a worldly perspective of even viewing our brothers and sisters, of our moms or dads or brothers and sisters or children. Oh, Father, give us redeemed eyes that we may look in faith, that we may step forward in faith, that we may trust you, the living God, and cast off that which we are not of. Our Father, you have not given us to wrath, but you've given us to peace and to the love of Christ, that we may walk in that. Father, we confess to you that we do always sometimes get confused about living, who we're living for, and we know that we resort to living for ourselves. But Lord, may it not be so. Would you remind us? Would you gird us up? Give us that mind of Christ. Fix our eyes upon things above. Remind us of who we are in you. Remind us that we can look upon one another with the same grace, mercy, and love in the way that you look upon us. That your Son came and died for us. That we can forgive because you forgave us. That we can receive because you received us. That we can be patient because, oh, you're so patient with us, God. And Father, we take a moment now to individually confess to you.